we're in this study, that purpose and that precious encouragement that we've been receiving, the purpose, the shewbread, the meaning of the word purpose, to set in plain view the result of feasting on the shewbread, the meaning of purpose. Praise God. And in 1 Kings 5:5, we come to a place where King David wanted to build the temple. But God said, David, you're a bloody man. It's going to be a man of peace that's going to build that temple. You can get all the things that are necessary for it together. Amen? But Solomon is my choice to build the temple. So we come to this verse of Solomon thanking the Lord, believing God for it. And in verse 5 of chapter 5 of 1 Kings, he says, and behold, I purpose. Isn't that beautiful? I purpose. And this is the king saying, I purpose. Solomon the king. I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now I want us to think about this. Solomon is the son who receives the throne from his father. You're too quiet. This is the son who receives the throne from his father. Now that should make your heart perk up. Amen? Because we are waiting, praise God, for God's son Jesus to receive the throne from his father. Hallelujah. This is a pattern, praise God. This is the mystery made plain to us. And we know that this throne that the son is going to receive from the father is predicated upon one thing. And that son must have his wife. That son must have his purpose. And praise be to God. So the Lord went to prepare a place. Think of that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Amen? And he's preparing this place to his purpose, according to his purpose. Amen? So we know that his purpose is going to be created and made by his word. By the word of his grace. By the shewbread. Amen? And the result of that is going to be what? What he sets in plain view, his purpose, all from the feasting of the word of his grace. So I want you to think about that again. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I understand that he told those disciples, you know, I go to prepare a mansion. You know, in my father's house, there are many mansions. Okay, now we're talking about the one who spoke it all into existence. Do you think that he's really having to take time to build a physical mansion? Or do you think he's taking time to build something that he's going to habitate? Amen? All right, I think he's got our attention now. So the place the Lord is building is what we're going to discover is his purpose as we go on tonight. And I want us to remember back to the tabernacle, thinking also about the temple that Solomon will build, that God's called him to. Without a temple, there's no holy place. There isn't. Without this temple, there's no throne. It's the truth. So if there's no holy place, there was no place for the presence of God with man. And if there was no holy place, there was no place for the cherubim to be made one in that wonderful place of the Holy of Holies with the Lord. The temple is required, brothers and sisters. That building must be built. And it must be built to have the place that's set apart in the city, the throne room, the altar, the place for the bride and the lamb. And that's the purpose from ages past, as the Father told the Son. Son, it is not good for man to live alone. The purpose is going to be the crowning, praise God, of the bride and the groom. Now, what is the Lord building at this time? Well, let's start over in 1 Peter 2:5. What is the Lord building at this time? So in 1 Peter 2:5, we read, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So we see here that we are lively stones. And the word says here that we are built up a spiritual house. That literally translates a Holy Ghost temple. A Holy Ghost temple. And I'll tell you what, the Lord occupies a Holy Ghost temple. And I believe the Word of God tells us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. So we see this occupying, and what the Lord is building is a mighty thing. And he describes the saints over in Revelation chapter 29, turn on over there, as the actual parts of the building, the walls, the foundation, all of these different things. If you go to Revelation 21, 19, it says, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones," the stones, the lively stones we just read about. Amen. "The first foundation was a jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald." It goes on and on and on and on. And we know that the gates, the 12 gates, we see the 12 tribes, we see all of the different stones that are built in this wonderful city, which represents all of these believers that will be part of this city. And then his masterpiece is seen and revealed with honor above everything as she descends from heaven having the glory of God. And right here in chapter 21, it describes her. It says, "And John was carried away," in verse 10. He says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city." So see, it was that great city. And it was holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. So it is no secret here what the Lord is building. He is building a place for him to habitate. And he is readying his wife just for that. Praise the Lord. Let's go on with this. So let's look back at our verse that we started with in 1 Kings 5:5, and let's receive these hidden meanings that are right in here. It says, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God." All right? "Unto the name of the Lord thy God, I purpose to build a house." Well, first of all, that word house, yes, it does translate as a house, but it also means a daughter. I'm going to build a daughter. Isn't that gorgeous? I'm going to build a daughter. This is incredible. And I'm going to build a daughter, not just any daughter, to what? Unto my name. And what is his name? It's glory. It's going to be to the glory of me. That's who I'm going to build, a daughter. Now, go on over to Acts 15, 14. What does it say there? That the Lord is seeking and going to find and have for his own. In Acts 15, verse 14, it says, "Simon hath declared how God at the first, did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name's sake." And you look at that verse, and we've looked at it many times. When it says there at the first, that word first means at the first rank. That's what he wants out of the Gentiles. And remember, we're not talking the Gentiles as a people. We're talking about ones that are saved. He's looking also out to receive those out of that saved group of Gentiles. He wants a first rank out of there. And he wants a first rank out of there to take out of them, to take out of them a people. And that take out, I love that. It's incredible because it's to catch away with violence. It's a rapture. It's not just, well, I'm going to take them out. It's a violent taking. And those that take heaven take it violently. There is that, it's reciprocated. It's that kind of a passion, one for another, because of this love that's built up. And notice, it's for his name's sake. And once again, that means for his rank and authority and pleasure. So he's going to take a first rank, he's going to take it violently by force and catch it away, and it's for his rank, authority, and pleasure. Think of that. His authority, he can't take the throne as God without her. To have that authority, he must have his wife. That's the word of God. He's seated at the right hand of God right now. He will not take the throne as God until he has his wife. He will not take that authority from his father till he has his wife. And praise be to God, I know one thing. That is his pleasure, because she is the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians tells you all about that over and over and over. And then, praise God, you think about this name, his namesake. Well, go on over to Revelation chapter 3. Here we have that church of Philadelphia. This is this church, praise God, that the Lord magnifies and singles out. As they will be those saints that are living at the time of the coming of the Lord. And they're living in first love. They're alive. They're ready. They're sober. They're looking for his appearing. They're loving his appearing. They desire his appearing. They expect his appearing. They're seeing that appearing, praise God, to rule and reign jointly together with him. Because as we read and rejoiced last week, those are the ones in the barley field with Ruth. Amen? That is the first fruit, praise God. That's the crop that's readied first before every other crop. Praise God. So here we have this precious company that we know is the bridal company that will be there of the Church of Philadelphia. And they're ready. They've not denied his name. They're expecting. They're in first love. And praise the Lord, it says, behold, 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 because thou hast kept the word of my patience, in verse 10, I will keep thee from the tribulation. That's exactly what the hour of temptation translates. They are kept from the tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This isn't a palm they have. This is a crown they have. Now, speaking of that name, listen to what they receive. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Notice we're right back in the temple, aren't we? Praise the Lord. And what? And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which we just read about, which is descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. So we know what this is. But there's one more thing, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is the first rank of the Gentiles for his name, for his pleasure, for his rank, for his authority. This is it. And praise the Lord. This is right back there to where we began tonight. Solomon says, I'm going to purpose to build a house for thy name, for thy name, for thy name. There it is. There it is. There it is. This new name is the Lamb's wife. Praise God. The bride of the Lamb of God. That she will be, and she will be this daughter. She will be this daughter that we just read about that is being built for him to cohabitate with him. This is the wife for the Lamb of God. Even in the Song of Solomon, He refers to her as what? My sister, my spouse. My sister, my spouse. So she is a what? She's a daughter. If she's a sister, there's a daughter. Amen. Just like there's a son. But she's got a double portion too because she's a spouse. Praise the Lord. And I was always thankful to receive that from the Word of God. God will receive that double portion as well too. He receives that precious son. Once we're born again, I understand that. He's my father, Abba Father. But as we go on into that bridal relationship, my goodness, he'd got a daughter-in-law too. It's amazing all of the things that the Lord works in our lives. And I think about how our precious Lord and Savior, you know, he's a rock, he's a shield, he's a buckler. And she's one of the seven angels and she's one of the beasts. She's a daughter, she's a son. She's got a lot of wonderful encouragements too, doesn't she? Because she's like him. All right. So, such precious stuff here. But let's look at this in this light too. So, purposed is to build a house. Purposed is to build a house. And it's obvious the house or this habitation is this daughter. She's New Jerusalem. Now, go on over to Hebrews 11:10 and think about how magnificent this encouragement of expectation of this wife and her being set in plain view, which is another meaning of purpose, this is. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, well, move back just one verse. By faith, this is speaking of Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So this wonderful construction, this wonderful house, this wonderful daughter that is being built for this wonderful habitation of our Lord, praise God, is exactly what was the encouragement for Abraham to be seeking. And he will see that city. Oh, yes, he will. And matter of fact, he's waiting as one of the friends of the bridegroom right now for the bridegroom, his friend, to call her, praise God, to see that city descending from heaven, having the glory of God. So it's so beautiful as this continues to lay out. And this has been the anticipation, praise God, from the very beginning. So how is she being built specifically? Well, again, it's the same meaning that we receive because it is according to his purpose. And that purpose is the shewbread, that wonderful word of the golden crown. Turn on over to Ephesians 2, and this is how she is built. In Ephesians 2, it tells us very clearly about this building. In verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And what? "And are built." See, you're built. You're them lively stones. And you're built upon the foundation of what? The apostles. And who? The prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And isn't that beautiful? It's a building that's growing. It's active. It's going on. Hallelujah. It's being built. And I thank the Lord how beautiful this is, because it's built by the apostles. And what did it say it was being built? It was a holy temple. Praise the Lord. And it couldn't be any more clear. A holy temple, referring specifically here to the Holy of Holies, the most set apart, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he wants to present to himself. To set in plain view. He just wants to gaze upon her. Wasn't that what David wanted? Remember, with Abishag? All he wanted, just come on in here, honey, and just stand before me. And I'm just right. You see it? And this is what he's building in here. And he's building it with this shewbread that we're feasting on tonight, hallelujah, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost in that wonderful love. And he will. I'll make known to all. I will make known to all. You talk about putting in plain view. When the Lord says all, that's all. That's all. He said even that he's going to take the synagogue of Satan. He's going to have them come and bow down and worship before her feet. Do you think he's going to set her in plain view? And you know why she's in plain view? Because she's right there in the midst of the throne with him. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is God and he will be right there with her. That's how much plain view. And I thank the Lord. Praise God. I believe. Simply, I believe you, Lord. And how glorious this is. But see, so she's built by the prophets. Well, we know what those prophets, they wrote those things for us, didn't they? Well, yes, they did. But there's even more than that. They wanted to know and to understand and to look into those things that they were writing for us. But it says very clearly that they couldn't understand. And it wasn't for them. And it was shut up to them. And the sons of men wanted to look into that. The prophets wanted to look into that. But oh no, you're just going to write it for us. So we are built by them prophets. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, there is a debt we could never repay them in the grace of God that was with them to write these things for us. Amen. And then by the apostles. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And I thank God for the apostles that the Lord gave us. Hallelujah. But those apostles weren't preaching many gospels. They were preaching one gospel. And there was only one that was given that gospel, and that was the Apostle Paul. So I know by the grace of God, we are built upon that wonderful, most holy faith, which we'll get to in a minute, which is in that wonderful truth of the mystery that the prophets wrote about and the revealing of that mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul that the apostles followed Paul as he followed Christ to give us. Thank you, Jesus. So we are built and we're built upon that wondrous foundation, aren't we? Hallelujah. And we're built up for him in that habitation because that's his purpose. Now, go on over to 1 Corinthians 3. And let's read about this masterpiece. And let's read about this master builder of this wonderful house that is being built unto the Lord and for his name. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Well, let's read from verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. It just can't be any more clear. We're his workmanship, aren't we? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We know that. We're God's building. Oh, what a building. But it's according to what? To the grace of God, which is given unto me, or Paul, right? Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So we just read how we build thereon, don't we? By the prophets. And by the apostles. It's that truth. And what did the prophets write? Once again, they wrote the mysteries. They wrote the mysteries. That's what they wrote for us. We're told that. We're told that in every one of Paul's epistles. Those prophets wrote the mysteries. They were the hidden things. Sure, they were stories and wondrous stories of the faithfulness of God and the marvelous works of God. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, we know that. And how God saw, even for Adam, in type of God's son Jesus, that it wasn't going to be good for Jesus to live alone, even on his throne. He was going to have a wife. That was the whole type and shadow in that. I mean, these just aren't quirky stories. There's meaning in these. They're not just goofy stuff. You think, you know, and that's why people that are just, they're godless, and when you're godless, you're stupid, and you're ignorant, and then you're full of vile, and they make fun of the Word of God because they don't understand the Word of God because they have no understanding. The only understanding you'll ever have is from the Lord, and it's right there in this Word. So here you have this story, praise God, that's out there, that you had this man, Adam, that God took from the dirt and breathed into, and he became a living soul. And that's the first man. And he says, and it's not good for man to live alone. And now he's going to make him a wife. He's going to make him a helpmate. What a helpmate. He's going to make him his glory too, because the woman is the glory of man. All of these things he was going to make for him. So of all the ways that God was going to make that wife for Adam, there was only one way it was going to happen. And that was going to type where we're at right now as a church, meaning the whole church, those that are believers. And he's typed it in Adam himself. And so he said, Adam, you're going to have a sleep go on you, honey. Because Adam didn't have to fall asleep. God didn't have to put him to sleep. God could have just spoke Eve. God could have taken the dirt and made Eve just like he made Adam. But it wasn't going to be that way, because there was a mystery that was going to be hidden in that creation that was going to be our revelation of the church that's asleep right now. And the Lord goes in there and he takes a little teeny rib out of Adam, out of the church that's asleep, and he makes a wife. And she's made, and she's there, and then Adam awakes and finds his wife. And that church will awake after she's taken. And they'll stand before her someday with palms in their hands. And they will wave salvation to our God. It's coming. So here we have Paul telling us, be that every man take heed how he build. So those prophets wrote one thing for us. And that was the mystery and those mysteries that were hidden. Whether it's there, whether it's in Ruth, right? Whether it's in Genesis 24, the bride for Isaac. Whether it's the Song of Solomon. Whether it's the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Whether it's any and every one of those Gentile brides. It's there over and over and over and over. But you can't see it without what the apostles wrote about. You can't. You're not going to see it without Paul's gospel. You're not going to see it without the enlightened eyes of the Holy Ghost that lightens up the shewbread of that golden table that is the word of his grace, that is the message of the apostles. So that's how you take heed. That's how you take heed. And it says in the word of God, and give the more earnest heed, which is this heed. Amen? To what? Huh? Given the more earnest heed to not let those things slip. Amen. Amen. We need to put them in remembrance always. 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 That's this gospel. That's this feeding. That's the shewbread. And that'll be the evidence of that feeding. Will be her set this masterpiece. So we see this golden shewbread is this word of his grace. And you remember this, when we entered into the holy place where everything was gold, do you remember that? That beautiful, beautiful encouragement. See, the outer court was the age of law. That outer court around the tabernacle was the age of law. But there was something you walked through, five pillars, grace. And that beautiful curtain of blue and red and purple. And bang, you were right in there to nothing but gold. All that grace. That's the shewbread that you saw immediately because of the enlightened candlestick, that Holy Ghost shining right there upon it. Feast, feast, feast. Now, why, as we close this up, it's all to build this masterpiece. It's all to build this house for the Lord, this habitation. Acts 20:32 tells us, very last thing that Paul said to those elders at Ephesus. So beautiful as he'd preached to them as they'd received this wonderful word. But given the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. But he says it like this in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build. It's capable, it's strong, it's all powerful for that building. The building we read about tonight. To build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Once again, these are the elders at Ephesus. He's not telling them to feast on the word of his grace to build you up so you can be saved. So you can go in here and wave a palm. He's saying, oh no, that you would have an inheritance like those among all them that are sanctified, set apart only for the master's use. Way back there in that holy of holies. This is what this is. And we thank God for it. And so how do we conclude this? Well, I love Jude and how it says there in chapter 1 and verse 20 and 22. The ingredients for growth, vital, vital. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, and there's that word again, building, building, growing, maturing, right? To the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. And why and how? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. I want you to think about that as we part tonight. The only way that you could build yourself up on the most holy faith, the most set apart, the highest of the calling of faith. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It would have to be the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It must be the word of his grace which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are set apart and sanctified. You don't twist things here, you just read it. It's called rightfully divided word. It's allow the Holy Ghost just to, the pattern that goes back and forth all the time. Hallelujah. It's right there for us. So we know that it's going to be the shewbread. The most holy faith has to be the feeding on the shewbread. Has to be. And without it, there won't be any building up in the most holy faith. You'll build up maybe in faith, but it won't be the most holy. It won't be the most set apart. It won't be that vessel that's only for the master's use. Amen? Amen? Amen. But then it says something else here. And praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't deny that. You can't deny that. And I will always, by God's grace, have the unction to preach His word and His truth. Not how people feel. Not how somebody could testify to me and say, I don't need to anymore. I'm filled when I was filled that one time. I agree with that. You're filled. But I agree with the word of God. It says in this verse, beloved, there's a building up of yourselves in your most holy faith and specifically praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know what praying in the Holy Ghost is. Because it goes on up here, I think here in about 5 minutes. It's important. It's vital. We need to be encouraged in it. And what happens when people don't continue on praying in the Holy Ghost? It dies out. And the worst part is it dies out in your house. And it dies out in your life. And you may have been real hard on this one. And you might be listening tonight. I'm giving you the word of God. Amen. By His grace. And I'm going to tell you something. If we follow Paul as he followed Christ, there's one thing you'll never deny. He said, I'm glad. I'm glad that I speak in these tongues more than ye all. All right. It needs to be encouraged. And encouraged, praise God, in this word, I know one thing. It'll only be His fire. Amen. Not strange fire. It'll be His. And I know there'll always be that fire. And I'll know one thing. There'll always be that love. Praise God. So there you go. I thank the Lord for His purpose. And next week, you might read ahead, but we just might be in Ezra. Yep. That is a book in the Bible. It's a very small little prophet. So we'll have a good time if the Lord tarry. Praise God. Stand, be dismissed.